How are you?
I'm great. I'm in between some festivals right now, so it happened to work out that the band got to all come down to Alabama, where in the States where my dad and a bunch of my family live. So they just cooked us like a big farewell meal, big, you know, fried chicken, potatoes, the gravy. And then look, they just brought over, this is like a famous thing in our family, this brought me over this thing of banana pudding.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna look at it while I talk to you. But
oh, you can eat it if you like.
I might eat a bite of it.
But, go for it. Go
but
for
I,
it.
I gotta. I'll try to stay focused, but then I'll try to have a little pudding in between.
Now, have you been aware, or has the band been aware of this incredible buzz around Spirit Box and an expectation? Can you feel that from the outside?
Yeah. It's weird because I come from a generation where it was like numbers were everything. Like your social media numbers were everything. So there's all these bands from, you know, 10 years ago that would have like a million Facebook likes. But then you play a show and there'd be like 30 people that would show up.
Mm.
So that's what I'm from. So I've never like felt like I've impressed anyone because I feel like no one, we were always like trying to shake people and be like, no, but okay, we only have a couple thousand people that like our band, but the engagement is awesome. Just trust us. So I always felt that there was that engagement that like you can't buy, but I'm just used to that, you know, like the MySpace days, just had paid for likes and stuff. And so I'm still from that mentality of like how people measure that. And then I think the thing that's been really big for me is just like the vulnerability and like openness of fans telling me how much they, you know, to me directly of how much they enjoy our music. And I've never had such a reaction like that before. The other, honestly, the big thing that's made me very scared because of how hyped up everything is every time I talk to a journalist that's heard our album, you know, I feel like they're very grand and saying what they think it's going to do. And it's just really overwhelming for me. I don't get it. I don't get how it's like someone just waved a magic wand and then everyone likes our band all of a sudden. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a weird thing. I mean, it's not something that I've ever experienced being just a radio person. So, I guess all I can say is strap yourselves in because things are just going to get bigger and bigger from here on out.
I hope. I hope so. I want to get like ready for it. You know, like I want to get to that next level of my dreams, but I also didn't intend for it to happen this quickly. So I'm in like a weird limbo where like, you know, we still all have our jobs, but we don't really have time to work at them right now, but we still have them and we still, you know, got one foot in normal life and one foot in this like music life, which used to be our fantasy life.
Mm.
But now with that part, music life starting to become the real life. And it's like, it's very exciting because it's, you know, it's every musician's dream.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you're getting to do things that, you know, you probably couldn't imagine. Teaming up with Sam Carter, that's an unbelievable track. I'd love to know the story behind working together there.
Well, so Bill in our band, he is best friends with Adam. They grew up together in the same town. They were in a band that really influenced Michael and myself, called A Textbook Tragedy. And Adam went on to join Architects because those two bands used to tour together all the time. So, you know, the Architects guys always kept in touch with Bill and just looked out for him. And Sam was very supportive of our band, of what the music he had heard. And I was going into this being like, I would love to have so many features of all of my friends. There's 30 people I would like to be featured on our record, 30 plus people. But I realized like with the time constraints I had, there's no way for me to get all of my friends. So it's like all or none. I didn't want to like just pick some of my friends and make the other friends feel left out.
Mm.
So I was done. And plus I'm like, I need to prove myself that I can just do this by myself. But then if Sam Carter messages you and go, hey, I want to be on your record, you go, right this way, sir. I have just the song for you.
Yeah.
And so he took a song that we loved so much, Yellow Jacket. And we purposely gave him that song because we didn't want anyone to try to influence us on either his team or our team to put it out as a single to use his influence. So we made sure to give him a weird song. But because he's so good, when he recorded himself, and I just told him what he said, where do you want me to sing? And I was like, the whole thing. Go wild. Go. I was like, I want you to make me look like a piece of shit. Like, I want you to just show me up so hard. And he presents it back. He tracked himself, and we were like, this is the best song I've ever heard in my life. So, you know, so if anything that guy touches just turns to gold. So I already loved the song, and now I love it. I forget sometimes that I'm listening to my own band when I listen to it, because I wrote that song kind of in his style anyway. And then so his vocal style influenced my writing, and then here he is singing it. So sometimes I listen to it and I can't believe I go, oh, this is me. I'm on the song as well. There I am.
I love that. Now, talking about, you know, your generation, you were listening to things way back in the day. We need to talk about your voice, because it will be something that's come up in every interview that you do. Your ability to go from beautiful cleans to the harshest screams. So where did you first find your love, or find your voice even? What were you emulating someone as you were growing up that you particularly liked? How did you find your way?
I keep thinking about this, because people keep asking me this, and I really don't remember a certain vocalist. I feel like it's just a fragment of every heavy influence that I ever discovered, and every one of them is just as important as one another. And I think that the thing that happened was, I feel like everything that I ever made was like created my own little vacuum, and it was not ever me going, I want to sound like this person, or I want to make this kind of music. It was a songwriter presenting me with a piece of music, and then me just doing what I thought felt best over that piece of music. So first case of my life was my little brother. I was in a band with my little brother, and as he started falling more and more in love with more obscure heavy music, and go, you know, so you're starting out, maybe we like System of a Down and Rage Against the Machine, and then sure enough, now he's starting to listen to Despised Icon and like Mr. Bungle and Between the Buried and Me, like just more genre bending heavy bands, and just more extreme vocals too, like Job for a Cowboy and stuff like that. You know, I started to climb that mountain with him, and just so that music inspired his writing, and then therefore I wanted to match his writing vocally with what I thought would sound best. And that's kind of how I've written everything for the rest of my life. I don't ever think about it like screaming or singing. I think about it like compartmentalize the riff, and I'm like, this would sound best over this riff.
It's amazing.
But everyone influenced me. So I think a thousand vocalists influenced me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that organic approach to how you've taken on your songwriting is how the band is kind of continuing organically as well. It just keeps getting sort of bigger and bigger and more grandiose. And you're finding, I think this is the thing about Spirit Box, for me anyway, you've come into a hugely volatile market. But what Spirit Box does is unique in the way that you've done it. So you haven't become a clone. You haven't become, oh, they fit into this spot here. You've really been able to carve out your own niche, and maybe that's why people have taken to you, because it sparked something. They've gone, hang on a minute, this is not normal. This is not what I normally listen to. And all of a sudden, there you are.
It's been boring lately, and I think there's a lot of artists that are trying, like, we're all just kind of shaking things up, and it's making. I feel the same way about music right now as I felt when I was a little kid, and all the excitement of like when nu metal came out, like it just was when Korn came out. You know, so as a listener, I have a lot of, you know, I'm feeling that excitement. Like I just recently, a couple months ago, listened to that band Turnstile, their album Glow On, and like that, I got that excitement that I haven't felt about music. And same when I first heard the band Loathe, when I heard I Let It In and Took Everything, it gave me that excitement that I hadn't felt in a while. Tesseract, when I first heard Altered State, I had that excitement that I hadn't felt. And so in a long time. And so that keeps recurring more and more for me. So I think that's kind of why that's happening for a lot of bands all of us are, we're all kind of like this little group of bands that all are just kind of, you know, just paving our own little road, and people enjoy it. But I'm just very grateful that anyone likes it. And I also know how I've been around for a while. I've also seen bands that, you know, were at the height and then it all got taken away from them, and they blew it. So I don't want to blow it. You know, I want to do a good job. But, you know, I think that the biggest thing to me is that something clicked for Michael, and he just went from someone who was an amazing riff writer to an amazing songwriter. And I think that's the thing. That's the thing that just helped us figure out what we want to do, is he just started focusing on songwriting and not just how many notes could he fit into one riff. And that supports, as a singer, that supports me so much more. And we got like a good little synergy going now.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because the thing about Eternal Blue that I found as well, it doesn't stay the course in one direction for too long. You have, like you said, Yellow Jacket with Sam. It's a heavy track, but then you go into something like The Summit, which is a beautiful example of your vocal ability, and I really love that song. And Holy Roller goes into another monster, and it reminds me in parts that sometimes you get a little bit industrial with the synths in the background, and some of those riffs are a little bit industrial, but then other times it's just beautiful, you know, and it's a really great juxtaposition that this album is. It's what makes it so interesting, and I hope people find that, you know, not only from the four singles that you've put out, but for the rest of the album, it's a great ride.
I'm so excited. I just can't wait, good and bad. I can't wait to hear what people think of it, because I'm just so curious, because I've been sitting on this thing for 2 years, most of it. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, when I wrote it, I was a different person, and now I have all these other influences, and I can't wait to write again. So it's like, I want this part of my life to be shown, so I can like move on to the next thing. But I'm excited. You're right about the industrial stuff, industrial, new metal, and just we're really influenced by like new wave, 80s synth, you know, like Tears for Fears and Depeche Mode and stuff like that too. So I feel like all those bands, everything like that you were talking about, and whether it's that like 80s stuff, industrial stuff, like it all just has this like melancholy, like heaviness to it.
Yes.
And that's what is the common thread between all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Halcyon is just a fantastic example of this as well, because just when you think you know what's going on, bam, it changes, and it's great. It's so great that you've been brave enough to do that within one song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love that song. Mm. It's Michael's favorite song, so I'll tell him that you like that one.
I love it. I absolutely love that one. And the other thing I wanted to say thank you for is Circle With Me and Constance wrap up the album. Thank you for not trailing off, because how many times in your life have you got a great album and it starts with four or five and then it just sort of tapers off? You guys didn't say that's the back end of the album, that's done.
No. Because when Constance was made, it was made to be the last song. And when Sun Killer was made, it was made to be the first song. And then Holy Roller was made to be the midpoint of the album. And then, so everything in there is like so much time and love was put into like the sequencing of the album. And so a lot of people were like, when we put our album track listing out, people were really annoyed that they'd already heard the songs at the end. And I was like, guys, I'm not putting this out for you. I'm putting this out for someone who, 5 years from now, who's never heard of us, presses play and they play it from the beginning to the end, you know? So that's why it's like that, because I love a good album sequencing. I like it to be able to flow. So that means a lot that you enjoy that, because it's just how it was meant to be. That's how we've always envisioned it from the conception of it, you know? That's how we wanted it.
It's something I speak to with every artist is, I am of the old school. I put it on at the start. I listen to the whole thing. I want to know where it's going, how it ebbs and flows. And yeah, that's something that the sequencing for me is as equally as important as the songs. I don't want an album just to go rah and it's done. I want you to take me to those different places in your mind, in your psyche, and explain to me why it is that you're going in this direction. Not necessarily a concept album, but just I want to hear the stories. And
yeah, it helps me. It makes me want to listen again.
Yes.
I feel like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you get to tell your friends, you go, oh, yeah, this great song. Wait till it kicks into the next one. And then the next one. And it's like.
The one that I'm so excited for everyone to hear is between the second song, Hurt You, and how it goes into Yellow Jacket.
Did
so
I write that
Hurt
down?
You, Hurt You ends, like if the single ends, it goes, and then it goes bump right into Yellow Jacket. Like, so they all trail into one another. And so I can't wait for everyone to hear that. It's like my favorite part of the whole thing.
Well, speaking of Hurt You, that the middle section is as massive as they come. I mean, I picture that moment at a festival or a big show with the crowd just heaving in that middle part. And it gives me goosebumps. It's like, I mean, you think about that from that, you know what I'm talking about, that big wave of energy just.
Whatever. Yeah. I can't wait for that. Like the shows that we have done, we haven't had a crowd mic facing the crowd. Our sound guy's crowd mic was broken. And so I have my in-ears in and I can't hear anyone. And it blew my mind when I would watch videos after. And there were people like cheering and singing along, but when I'm on stage, I can't really hear them because I just hear myself. And it's so cool. Like, I see why people get addicted to that because it's just the coolest feeling.
It's the energy. Oh, my God. Just that. I can't wait to go to shows again and feel that with the people next to me. And you just look at total strangers and just you're so excited by the music.
I don't think anyone will ever take it for granted again when live music comes back and when it comes back for you guys in Australia. You guys won't ever take it for granted again. Every show you go to is going to be the best show you've ever gone to.
And speaking of which,
set it up, man. Like I am ready to go up to Australia. And it's, you know how it is. It's so expensive for the Australian bands to go to the States. It's so expensive for the North American bands to go to Australia. I'm ready. I just did the Limp Bizkit tour. I lost a bunch of money. I'm ready to lose all my money and come to Australia. I don't care. We have to come there. Like, there is just this commonality. We're drawn to the fans there. Like, we just need to go. I don't care. I can sell some of my furniture. It's fine. I'm coming.
we'll set up a GoFundMe. Bring Spirit Box to Australia.
We'll be there soon and it's going to be awesome. So
we cannot wait.
Every band is dying to get there. So it's a holy grail for every new band. They want to go prove themselves, especially in like metalcore and metal music, to go to Australia and prove themselves there. So we will be there soon.
Yeah, I can guarantee you'll be welcome with open arms as well. Speaking of Australia and Make Them Suffer, interestingly enough, how did that one come about?
We toured with Make Them Suffer, the first tour we did that got canceled. We got to, you know, hang out with them for like 10 days. It's the best 10 days of our lives in Europe. We went on tour with them. And so, you know, we always just kept in touch. And then we ended up on Rise Records. And in North America, that's who represents Make Them Suffer. So they asked if I would sing on one of their songs. And they asked me to write the singing part. And they kept showing me what they were doing. And I was like, your part's better. You guys are amazing. I'm singing your thing. So we went with their really awesome singing, their beautiful chorus. And it was so fun. Like, I wish I could have been there in real life to be in the music video with them, but I'm sure I'll get to see them someday soon. But they're great people. And they're such talented, hard, hard working artists. And when we toured with them, we were the little baby band on the tour and they treated us with so much respect and so much help, and they never made us feel, you know, like the little, you know, dorky band that know what we were doing. They always just treated us with so much respect. So we'll never forget it. They're so nice to us.
Oh, that is fantastic to hear. It makes me go, oh, because they are really
so
nice.
Cool.
Yeah, they're very, very nice people. So I'm so glad you had an awesome experience with them. I know you've got another interview to come. I would love to do this again sometime if we can
anytime.
Set it up. Yeah, that would be great.
Anytime. When you got to meet the guys.
Yeah.
They're entertaining my family for me right now while I do this. So it's because we're flying out to our next show tomorrow.
What? So you're at your parents' house now?
Yeah. My dad, I grew up in Alabama before I moved to Canada. So my dad and my stepmom and my little sister and all of their extended family all lives down here. So they are fun people and we are having a lot of food right now. I can't move. I feel like I'm gonna die.
And I've I've kept you from your banana pudding.
It's okay. I'm gonna so much more of this tonight. Like that's all I want. Yeah.
Thank you again. Enjoy the banana pudding and congrats on Eternal Blue. People are really going to love it. I'm going to be spruiking it and playing it a lot of it on the station because it's so good. So,
regardless if people like it or not, I feel like a pregnant woman who just wants to like give birth. Like I'm just like, get out of me. I don't care if people don't like it, you know? So it means a lot that thank you. And it means a lot what you said about the sequencing of it. That's something that our inner nerds are very, very passionate about. So it means a lot. I'll tell the guys you said that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great ride. And and please pass on my best. And I look forward to speaking to all of you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Courtney.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.